Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Decal Download Podcast, your source for the latest news and information from the Georgia Department of Early Care and Learning. With Commissioner Amy Jacobs, I'm Reg Griffin. We appreciate you joining us this week and every week. You can always find us at decal.ga.gov or social media. We love it. We know you do, too. Look for us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and more. Well, DECAL's Nutrition Services Division administers the Child and Adult Care Food Program and Happy Helpings, Georgia's Summer Food Service Program. These federal nutrition programs, funded by the USDA, ensure eligible children and adults have access to nutritious meals and snacks. And with the case of Happy Helpings, even when school is out. And Commissioner, as you know, these programs improve the overall nutritional status of some of Georgia's most vulnerable citizens.
Yeah, these are incredible programs providing nutritional meals to children and adults. I know we focus mostly on children, but it does have that adult component. And, you know, when I get a chance to talk about these programs, I always, you know, we're always looking for sponsors because that's what we have to have. And it's not about lack of food, it's lack of access to food. And that's why we need sponsors to help us deliver that food to these children, especially in the summertime.
Right. That's exactly right. And nutritional meals is also important to drive home, because you're going to hear, particularly over the summer, about different programs. But sometimes the food, if you take a closer look, is like a PB&J and some chips and maybe a soft drink. And the USDA folks would run in horror if they were to see something like that.
That's right.
So ours are nutritionally balanced. We've got dietitians and folks that are involved in all of that. And we appreciate their work. So joining us this week to talk about Happy Helpings and CACFP is Tamika Boone, Nutrition Services Director here at DECAL. And Cindy Kicklider is Nutrition Marketing and Outreach Manager. Ladies, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, Reg. Glad to be here.
Great to have you all here. Well, the Nutrition Services Division administers two federally funded programs that help improve and maintain the nutrition of Georgia's children and adults, as the commissioner mentioned. Tamika, tell us about these programs and who is eligible.
Yeah, I'm glad you set it up nicely, Reg. These programs are intended, as you said, to just fill the nutritional gap for many needy children and eligible adults in the state. And so Happy Helpings, which is Georgia's summer food service program, it is intended to serve children who are 18 and under, and some young adults who are over age 18, who are enrolled in school programs for those with disabilities. And so it's essentially intended to fill that gap when children are out of school for the summer, and Happy Helpings is operating out in the community to ensure that they still have access to healthy meals. Whereas on the other hand, the Child and Adult Care Food Program, or CACFP, or if you ask some providers, it's just the food program. That's what's happening year round in more of your daycare setting. So this is the program that's operating in your traditional child care centers or your daycare homes. This is happening in eligible adult daycare facilities, at-risk after school programs. So we're really touching low income or children who are in need of healthy meals, as well as eligible adults who are residing in adult care facilities or who are attending daycare facilities.
Well, summer break means fun and free time, but for kids facing food insecurity, no school can also mean limited access to affordable, nutritious food. Luckily, Happy Helpings fills that hunger gap for Georgia's kids. Cindy, can you tell us more about that program?
I sure can. As you mentioned, Amy, during the summer, many of our kids just lose that access to nutritious food. And Happy Helpings just fills that gap because it ensures that any child 18 and under has that access to free meals and snacks. The program doesn't require any kind of registration or identification, and you can find meal sites throughout Georgia. They're going to be located in low-income areas where children just naturally congregate. So that might look like an apartment complex or a church, a school, a park. And some of our meals are even available through mobile sites. There are a lot of ways that a family can find a meal site in their community, but the simplest way is to text the words "summer meals" to 914-342-7744. And I'll repeat that again. 914-342-7744. And another great resource I want to mention is a resource that you can locate meals as well as food pantries in your community. And to do that, you can just download the Food Finder app, or you can visit their website at foodfinder.us.
Good to know. Resources right there. And not to put you on the spot, Cindy, but you had a kickoff in Rabun County not too long ago. And that is up, if the folks don't know, that's up in the upper northeast corner of the state. In fact, I think you were almost on two different state lines there, right? You had North Carolina and South Carolina, like right there. How did it go?
It went fabulous. It's in Clayton, Georgia, and we had about 91 kids and their parents that came out, and they enjoyed not only nutritious meals, but also physical activity. We had them playing jump rope and hopscotch. You know, we try to combine that nutrition element with physical activity for a healthy child. We also had a hydration station where, you know, summer's coming up, it's hot, and we want to encourage kids to really understand how important it is to stay hydrated. So we had a lot of fun. A lot of kids came out. The weather was absolutely perfect. So we had a great day.
I was going to say, also blessed with a beautiful day. That always, when you do planning for events like this, that's a big question. As you're coming along, you go, but everything is in place, everything is planned. Just hope the weather is good. And it really was. It was a beautiful day and some great photos on our social media if you want to go back and take a look at that. Well,
can I just say something too? I'd like to recognize our sponsor, which is the Rabun County Family Connection. And we also partnered with Rabun County Library, and they were great partners, and they made that event happen as well.
Great location. Yeah, there at the library. That looked really nice. Well, Tamika, during COVID, flexibilities were granted by USDA that allowed parents to come and pick up meals for their children. What's the status on that with meals being offered this summer?
You're right, Reg. I mean, when the public health emergency as a result of COVID hit in 2020, USDA immediately stepped in and started allowing flexibilities that allowed children and parents to come pick up meals when they were uncomfortable eating and convening in group settings. And so that took place for about two or three summers. But as you mentioned, now there are some limitations in that flexibility. So now most of our feeding sites will resume pre-COVID operations, which requires children to consume their meals on site, which is the intended goal of the program. You want children to come together. You want them to have their meals together. And there's a lot of benefit from having congregate feeding. However, there are there's a new permanent non-congregate option that is now in federal law and in the federal program, which allows non-congregate or meal pickup, grab and go, parent pickup, home delivery. It allows flexibilities in rural locations when there is not a congregate feeding site nearby. So again, it used to be widely available across any provider, but now sort of in the quote unquote post-COVID era, now there is a non-congregate option, but again, it's limited to rural sites. It has to be approved by Georgia DeKalb, as well as there cannot be a congregate meal service that's available to the children who would be attending that rural non-congregate site.
Right. You know, the federal government actually said the public health emergency ended on May 11th, 2023. And May 11th is my birthday, so I really appreciate it.
Happy birthday, Rich.
What a present.
There were some things that came along and are leaving as a result of the pandemic that we may miss, believe it or not. And I think we recognize that flexibility was one of the things that I know people enjoyed. But hopefully you understand that there have to be rules and regulations when it comes to this. And we are just following those rules. So that's where we stand right now.
Well, Cindy, meals are available through Happy Helpings during the summer until school starts. Are meals provided to children during the school year through CACFP?
Yes, meals are available year-round through CACFP in childcare centers, daycare homes, and adult daycare centers. At-risk after-school meals, which is also part of CACFP, only operates during the school year. And through this program, each child is eligible to receive up to one meal and one snack per day after the school bell rings. And this program is also allowed to operate on weekends and holidays during that school year.
School will be back in session before you know it. The kids are going, don't say it. We don't want to hear that. But it's true. And after school activities will resume pretty soon as well. So, Tamika, what organizations are eligible for reimbursement through at-risk after-school meals?
Sure. Well, our traditional CACFP program, we encouraged our normally licensed or exempt child care programs to participate in the CACFP. But specifically at-risk after school, some of our partners look a little bit different. We're talking about more of our nonprofit organizations or a public agency like a school or a city government who are offering an after-school program for children. They have to still meet state or local licensing and health and safety standards. For an at-risk after-school program to be eligible to participate in this program, they also have to be what we call area eligible. So we also encourage organizations that are to participate in the at-risk after-school program that are located in areas that are eligible, meaning that they are located in the school attendance zone, which at least 50% of the children qualify for free and reduced price meals. So in order to participate in this program, they have to meet that standard because all of the meals are reimbursed at a higher rate. And so we want to incentivize our at-risk after-school programs in our low-income areas to participate and receive benefit from this program. And so that's why they're reimbursed at a higher rate and have to meet a higher standard. And they also have to provide an educational or enrichment activity for the children, in addition to providing the healthy meal. And it's important to note that they don't necessarily only have to operate during the school on school days. They can also operate on the weekends. They can operate during holidays or any sort of school vacation. And it's essentially intended to provide meals to children in these areas whenever school is out, other than our summer, because that's when our Happy Helping Summer program kicks in.
There are definitely a lot of options. So, Cindy, why do you think it's important to combine meals with after-school programs?
Well, Amy, there's so many great reasons to offer a meal or a snack as part of an after-school program. For the center, it can potentially mean that there's an increase in participation. And of course, if that center is a CACFP provider, then they're going to get reimbursement for those meals and snacks. Of course, for the child, that food gives them the energy they need to be fully engaged and focused in their after-school activity. You think about it, by the time a child gets to their after-school program, lunch is a distant memory. It's long gone. And the kids really need that meal or snack just to get them through the afternoon. And supper meals are really important as well, because if you think about it too, children are spending a lot of hours in an after-school program while their parents are working. And in some cases, that supper meal might be the only meal a child receives until the next school day.
I totally agree. You can use a snack after lunch. And so often I just go ahead and grab the snack with my lunch. So I'm kidding. But nutrition, that's where the question comes. I need to walk down the hall and check with Tamika and her team to make sure whatever it is I'm getting is nutritional, of good nutritional value. So we've mentioned reimbursements a few times, and folks, their ears may have perked up if they want to be involved in this, because you don't want to lose money in doing something good for the community. So Tamika, how are institutions reimbursed?
So absolutely, we definitely provide that financial benefit or reimbursement for each healthy meal that's provided. And when we say healthy, it has to meet USDA's meal pattern requirements. They dictate the meal components that must be served to the children in order to receive that reimbursement. And again, the whole purpose is to ensure that children are having those healthy, well-rounded, well-balanced meals. And so USDA establishes those reimbursement rates annually. As I mentioned, after school programs receive reimbursement for providing meals to children and that participate in their programs. They can receive reimbursement for just a snack, or if they'd want to do a meal and a snack, as Cindy mentioned, they can provide the snack after school. And if the children are still going to be there, they can serve supper. So our at-risk after school program can be reimbursed for up to a meal and a snack. Our traditional CACFP program can be reimbursed for up to two meals and a snack each day. So children are normally there for the entire day, so they may receive breakfast, lunch, and a PM snack. And so, and the same for our summer program. Our summer program, our sponsors can be reimbursed for providing two meals. As long as they aren't lunch and supper, they can be reimbursed. Many of them do breakfast and lunch. And so it really just ensures that children have access to meals, a variety of meals, hot meals, cold meals, and just have a full, well-balanced meal for the day.
Well, we are always looking for organizations to help us with either CACFP or Happy Helpings or At Risk After School, because again, we don't serve the meals. We need organizations to partner with us. So Cindy, how does an organization apply to participate in the At Risk After School Meals program?
Well, there are two ways an organization can participate in At Risk After School Meals. Eligible centers can apply to participate working with an existing sponsor, and we call those administrative sponsors, or they can apply directly with Georgia DECAL as an independent center. And an independent center is responsible for operating the program and meeting that USDA meal requirement that Tamika mentioned, but they're also responsible for administrative duties, administrative work, and as well as submitting monthly claims. So if you wanted to apply as an independent center, you've got to have a childcare license or an exemption. And once that requirement's met, you can just register for training, and then you have 90 days to complete the application after that training. If you're an independent center, you're going to receive reimbursement directly from DECAL. Now, the second way to participate is to work with an administrative sponsor. The center is still responsible for meeting that USDA meal requirement, but the difference here is the sponsor is going to do your paperwork and also submit your claims. The sponsor will pay the reimbursement, but they can also take up to 15% of your reimbursement for the services they provide. And I always tell everyone that you can start working with an administrative sponsor if you want to. And when you're ready, you can register for training and become an independent center. So those are the options for them.
Great idea. And this is my plug every single year, especially with Happy Helpings, but maybe also with CACFP. Lots of organizations out there trying to do something good for the community. Here is an opportunity where you can have a real impact. I mean, let's face it, there's nothing more important than children's health, and nutrition is such a big part of that. Here's an opportunity for you to do something where you've got the backing of, gosh, USDA, of DECAL, you've got the training available, you've got all this available, the reimbursements. Great way to jump in and immediately do something that's going to have a strong, positive impact on your community. So please consider being a sponsor with us the nutrition program here at DECAL. So we mentioned school doesn't really start in most communities until August. So Cindy, when is the best time for an organization to contact you about participating in CACFP At Risk After School Meals, and how can they go about contacting you?
Well, if you'd like to add a nutrition component to your after school program, I would just encourage you to contact us now. If you want to participate as an independent center, we can get you registered for our CACFP training program, and that is offered monthly. And if you prefer to work with an administrative sponsor, I can connect you with the participating organizations, or you can find the list of administrative sponsors on the nutrition page of the DECAL's website. You can contact me, and I can help you with that process. Again, my name is Cindy Kicklighter, and my last name is spelled K-I-C-K-L-I-G-H-T-E-R. And you can reach me by email at cindy.kicklighter@decal.ga.gov, or you can give me a call at 678-841-3170.
All right. Very good. Great opportunities again, folks. You need to get involved. This is something you can do anywhere, all over Georgia, and we are here to help you. So contact Cindy, contact Nutrition Services. Let's see if we can't get you involved in this very positive program. Before we go, Tamika, I would be remiss if I did not recognize the fact that since we last spoke on this podcast, you have a new addition to your family.
I do have a new addition to my family. I have somebody who's very needy, who cries all the time and poops all the time. It's a new little girl. She's 3 months old, actually, this week. Her name is Olivia Rose, and she has been a joy addition. She's been a joyful addition to the house. So thank you for acknowledging that, Rich.
So she's a joy, despite mm-hmm. all of those things that you talked about before.
Oh, yeah. I'm delirious right now. I'm absolutely sleepy. I'm sleep deprived. But I'm going to say all the right words that mom should say. And she's a joy, and it's a blessing. It's a great thing. But no, it's been a joy. She's a really found her place in the house. My oldest is enjoying being a big sister, and so it's been pretty good so far.
I was going to say, your oldest daughter is how old?
She's 6 years old.
Six. Okay, so a few years between them, but they're going to grow up best friends. I have a feeling.
I hope so.
Yes. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
That's right.
Olivia Rose. Now, when you're older, we're going to send you a link to this podcast and we can let you know we were talking about you.
That's right. That's right.
It's a great thing about technology. Well, listen, summer food, happy helpings. We've talked about CACFP. Hopefully you've got a good idea of the fact that you have a seat at the table to help serve nutritional healthy meals all year round to Georgia's youngest learners. And so we want you to get involved. So contact Cindy and the Nutrition Services Department for more information. Tamika, Cindy, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great being here.
Now, what are your questions for Commissioner Jacobs? Let's go to the water cooler.
Hi, I'm Ann Panzica, and I work in the CAHPS Provider Relations Division here in Buford, Georgia. My question for Commissioner Jacobs is, I've heard about DECAL offering expand grants to help families with childcare during non-traditional hours. So what are non-traditional hours?
Well, thank you, Anne, for your question. So as part of our COVID relief dollars, we will be offering what we call expand grants. This is an area of work that we have not done before at DECAL. So this is new for us, and it's really for us to learn what needs are in communities of non-traditional hours. And non-traditional hours can mean different things. It can mean care outside of a normal childcare schedule. Childcare is usually open from 6 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. As we know, some folks might need earlier, some parents might need later, and some parents might need weekends, just depending on the type of work they do. Another example is, manufacturing companies work different types of shifts, and those employees might need different types of care, which could be an overnight type care. And so we are offering and just announcing them in the near future for applications to us to tell us what your communities need. So it can be a childcare partnership that might want to open different hours for their community. It can be business partners that might see a need for their employees to have maybe overnight care or, work better with their shift schedules. So we're just dipping our toe into this. We don't really know what to expect, but I will tell you, when we announced our webinar to announce these expand grants and really talk about more what they need, we have over 500 individuals registered for the webinar. So really excited that there's a lot of interest. And so we're going to learn from this process and see how we can help support those families that need those non-traditional care hours.
It's going to be exciting. We're actually doing the webinar the same day that we're recording this podcast, and they've asked me to be a small part of it. Now I'm a little nervous. 500 people on there. That's crazy.
We were worried that we wouldn't get enough people, and so we got 500 registered, so that's good.
Yeah, it shows there's interest, and it is exciting. I mean, this is sort of a new chapter in DECAL history. Yeah. If you go back to pre-K 30 years ago, or if you look at quality rated 10 years ago, this is a major step of looking at non-traditional service within childcare. We don't really know what the needs are. Like you said, we're going to learn from the communities the extent of this. We know they exist because families all have different needs, but we're going to be able to categorize it. I'm sure our research team is going to go crazy with this information. Mm-hmm. And we can do some data-driven activities as a result.
Yeah, absolutely. Excited to see what we get.
Now it's your chance at winning a nice prize in the DECAL download quiz. We'll draw one name from all the correct answers to this question. Email your response to decaldownload@decal.ga.gov. Here's the question. What is the name for Georgia's summer food service program? What is the name for Georgia's summer food service program? Answer that correctly. We'll draw one name from all the correct answers. You could win a prize from Chick-fil-A, Fun Spot America, Georgia Aquarium, Georgia Lottery, Georgia Public Broadcasting, Lakeshore Learning Materials, McDonald's, Savoy Automobile Museum in Cartersville, and the School Box. Again, what is the name for Georgia's summer food service program? Send that to decaldownload@decal.ga.gov. You could be a winner. Thanks for playing and good luck.
Thanks for listening to the DECAL Download Podcast. The Georgia Department of Early Care and Learning improves outcomes for children and families by strengthening early learning experiences in partnership with early education programs, professionals, stakeholders, families, and communities. Their vision is that every child in Georgia will have equal access to high-quality early care and education. For more information, visit their website at decal.ga.gov. Join the conversation at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Follow Commissioner Jacobs on Twitter at @commjacobs.